When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Johnny Kent Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, welcome everybody. Start with some like marginally good news. The price of gasoline, self-serve regular in Los Angeles County, rose Monday today by the smallest amount during a 20-day streak of increases.
Wow.
Rising to three-tenths of a cent to an amount of $5.83.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
The average price of a gallon in LA County sits around $5.28. There you can see the price difference just between the city and the county.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. 60 cents.
Yeah. And on my side of town, it's $6.
Yeah, true to your word, you sent me a damn photo. Thanks.
I promised.
Where was this?
This was right over the California border in Arizona. The last gas station when you're leaving Arizona. $4.59
for unleaded, it says.
Filled up, made it all the way home.
It looks like
$4.59 gas.
Desert landscape photo, an old dingy sign in the middle of nowhere. There's a mountain behind it.
It's, yeah, no, there's nothing there. This is one of those truck stop places.
Yeah.
Convenience
trip
store.
To watch no baseball?
Huh? Well, we ended up seeing baseball. College baseball. There's always something.
Oh, you did go to a college baseball game?
Yeah. This is actually funny. Well, Arizona State was playing.
Oh, and they're pretty good usually, aren't they?
Yeah. So on the schedule, it said they had a doubleheader against University of San Francisco. Game one at 1 o'clock, game two at 6 o'clock. Not unusual in college baseball to have Saturday doubleheaders. So we went over there. And it turned out Arizona State wasn't playing, but Missouri was, because Missouri had gotten snowed out, and they called Arizona and said, can we come and play there because it's sunny and warm?
No.
But now normally, right, it's in Tempe, right? Normally that game would not draw a crowd because who cares? University of San Francisco against Missouri? Baseball?
Who's going to come? People like you? Is that what you're saying?
Who's going to? Well, all the spring training tourists.
Yeah, but they made all their plans, I guess, a while ago, and
nobody canceled. Thousands of people poured into the stadium.
Is that right?
Yes, it was really weird. The thing is,
Well, you didn't either. You could have waited another week. Aren't they going to have games starting later this week?
Yeah, but this trip was long planned.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's probably what the rest of those people said. This trip was long planned.
Yeah.
I got the time off. I made the flight arrangements or whatever. I got my kids out of school, whatever was happening.
Exactly. So we show up, thousands of people, long lines. And
for a college baseball game.
That's right. And Arizona.
I'll bet you booed San Francisco just because, you know, it's San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was no rooting interest
there. Hey, got any homeless on that team?
Yeah. The whole country booed San Francisco. So these were all very, older, polite Midwest people. Out on their vacation to escape winter. And these long lines, because the Arizona State students who are employed there, right? They run the ticket booths and the concession stands. They didn't see this coming. They had this stupid kiosk set up. You're supposed to go up to a screen to buy the tickets.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Wilma and Fred, coming from Wisconsin, have no idea how to work this kiosk.
Oh, they've never bought tickets to a kiosk.
Oh, God, did that take long for everybody. Oh. Because the poor kid had to go over and over and over again.
Keep helping people who got stuck.
This is, well, because it would have been so much quicker if you just walked up to the ticket booth window, right? And said, you know, give me two tickets, here's $20, and then you get out, right? In a matter of seconds. Instead, every transaction, you know, took 5-10 minutes. Because nobody understood how to work them. Then after you got the tickets, and this is where like technology has overwhelmed what the average person can do or wants to do. So after you go through that ordeal of getting the ticket, now, like we had 6 tickets on one of my friends' phone, and you have to put the phone underneath the scanner, right, and wait for the boom.
Oh, yeah. But that's how I go to every Ram game.
Except
right.
it wasn't working. Hmm. He's putting it under once, twice, three, four times. Multiply this again by several thousand people who showed up.
Yeah, that would be a clog.
All right, then you go inside. They had one concession stand open in left field. Hundreds and hundreds of people standing in line.
For a hot dog?
For a hot dog. Basically, hot dog, a soda, or a beer. There wasn't much else. So I looked at that because, you know, I don't stand in lines. And we ended up drifting over to the right field side. After about fourth inning, they open up a second concession stand on the right field side. And long lines, but not terrible. And I had maybe a dozen people in front of me. Except this line was going extremely slow. And when I finally got to the front of the line, I figured out why. I don't know what the bar is to get to Arizona State.
No.
But I had the world's dumbest college student working the register.
Is that right?
I look at him and I said, all right, can I have 2 hot dogs, a Coke, and a Diet Coke? And he goes, 2 hot dogs, a Coke, and a Diet Coke. I go, yeah. 2 hot dogs, a Coke, and a Diet Coke. Yeah. Third time. He goes, 2 hot dogs, a Coke, and a Diet Coke. Yeah, you got it. You're right there. He then turns to a girl next to him. 2 hot dogs, a Coke, and a Diet Coke. She goes,
sounds like a joke.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was. What is this, a comedy sketch? You guys work in the improv class? He looks at me again. Fourth time, he says to me. So, okay. And now he's punching the register. And now he's trying to figure out how to tell me to stick the card into the... So that's why the line was going so slow. It took him 10 minutes for every single transaction.
Was this their first game?
What, their first game? No.
I mean, is this the first home game or something? Or the first time that they opened up a stadium for the season? I don't understand.
No,
now you get a rhythm going after some games.
Yeah, I think this was a surprise game, and nobody was expecting a crowd, so they weren't staffed, and maybe they called in reinforcements.
They had to call in the reinforcements.
You know, guys were like laying around half-drunk in their underwear, and they were asked to come in.
Yeah,
and
you want
to
make $10 an hour?
Yeah,
come
exactly.
on.
Oh, man.
Were the tickets really $10 for the game?
$13. That's 13. General admission. You go sit wherever you want.
Yeah. But it was thousands of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. It was
capacity crowd.
It was because, well, it used to be an old spring training ballpark. The A's.
People starve for entertainment.
They are. Well, you know,
they're expecting major leaguers in full bloom.
They fled the Midwest winter. They wanted to see baseball. So
it's kind of sad. So you just went to the one game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was enough.
From that experience, sounds exhausting. Just to get in and to get food and to get...
Yeah, they just weren't ready. And you know, really part of the reason was there was all this technology and nobody knew how to work it. The crowd didn't. The ASU students didn't know how to work it. And, you know, these inventions aren't worth anything if they overwhelm everybody's desire and experience.
Yes.
We were paralyzed by the technology. The old-fashioned way, everything would have gotten done real fast.
Yeah, and plus they can glitch up, let alone people don't know how to use them, but sometimes they just glitch up.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. But I'm afraid that's the direction we're going. Everything's going to be contactless, especially thanks to COVID. Everything you do will be contactless.
Yeah.
More machines, more screens.
That's why I always get skeptical about the breakthroughs, because I'm thinking, well, that sounds nice, but are normal people going to be able to use it? Are they going to want to use it? I'm really happy going to a ticket booth and just giving the guy, you know, a $20 bill and getting a ticket and the change. That worked for me.
All right, we'll give you the rundown on Ukraine-Russia. There were some talks today, but they didn't last that long, nor did they come up with anything. By the way, they do these on video link. The Russians and Ukrainians don't meet in person. But there is exciting news. Joe Biden may be going to Europe. They're gonna pack him up, carry him out, put him on some sort of plane, Air Force One.
Shoot him up with some formaldehyde?
Maybe. It's being discussed. We'll give you all the details on that and more coming up.
He can't take a trip like that. That's too much.
You think it's too rigorous?
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, coming off of Vice President Kamala Harris's very successful trip to Poland and Romania, wasn't that quite a whirlwind tour, and she really made a big impression. Biden himself may be heading to Europe to talk about the Russia-Ukraine war. Meanwhile, China has been, everybody's talking, but, you know, I guess it's just to make people feel good. Let's all talk.
Yeah.
The one of the Chinese officials, from the Politburo, the Communist Party's top decision-making body, he met with the National Security Advisor today in Rome to talk about. See, China's been the strange card here in that nobody's sure what they're up to. Are they supporting Russia behind everybody's back, helping Russia make up some of the losses? So far, it doesn't appear to be that way. There are some that believe that maybe it's in China's best interest to just try to end this thing. But clearly, they're not exactly opposed to what's been going on in Ukraine.
In fact, our national security advisor met for 7 hours with the Chinese official. And supposedly the message was very strong. Don't you dare help Russia out here.
Yeah, they think there might be a way they could help them out, you know, with their economic losses.
Right.
With all of the sanctions. Moscow's denying they asked China for weapons, because that was another report over the weekend that they might be asking for some sort of military aid, not soldiers necessarily, but more arms, more tanks, I don't know, something like that to use in this conflict. Meanwhile, Biden himself might be headed to Europe as soon as next week to be a part of all the talks.
More talking.
Yeah, that's all it is talking.
You can't talk down a nuclear warhead. The whole thing is Putin's nuclear capability. That's why everyone's standing around and watching the Ukrainians die every day.
Right.
And saying how terrible it is. And offering thoughts and prayers. Which I guess the thoughts and prayers aren't working.
Well, Russia's starting to get a hold of territory in the south of Ukraine. This has just been a bombing mission for the last several days, as we're in the third week of this war. But they're still at a standstill around the capital of Kyiv. And that has been frustrating to them, because that's obviously where the central government is, and that's what they really wanted to do, is take out the government and install their own puppets.
Pressure's building up, because most of the world really can't stand watching all this bombing every day and all these civilians getting killed. They said the mother, who was photographed being carried out of the maternity hospital on a stretcher, I think she was pregnant, mother died, they announced, in the last 24 hours. And that was a famous picture. Everybody's seen that. If you looked at any news site, you saw this photo. And it's that kind of thing where people are just every day going to watch this and hear more and watch and hear more. It's like, wow, really? We're doing nothing? I mean, outside of sanctions. And you can see how well that deterred him.
Yeah,
I wonder just how much people are going to take before they start saying, maybe we got to do something.
Yeah, looking at the map, Russia apparently has taken territory basically in the borders to Russia itself, north of Kyiv. There's a whole lot of territory there. That's really where their invading forces have been coming in, and they have that territory. But they're trying to surround the capital, at least from three sides, it looks like. They also have territory, obviously, in eastern Ukraine. This is the stuff that Putin has recognized as independent from Ukraine, where there supposedly was a lot of Russian separatists. Again, these are just border areas around Russia. And then that southern portion, which is just off of Crimea, including a city of Kherson. And they've been trying to grab these port cities to the south. But the new war front may be on John's Polish border, because that's where they're getting a lot of shipments into Ukraine.
6 miles from the border, there was a missile strike. 6 miles away.
Yeah, they hit a military training center. I think they killed like 35 people.
Yeah. So if that missile is off course by as little as 6 miles, that could trigger NATO jumping in. Because whether it's an accident or a mistake or on purpose, that's the kind of thing that if NATO decides, okay, we're going to respond, you know, that would be the legal justification under the agreement.
Yeah, the Parliament of Estonia has called for UN member states to take immediate steps to establish the old no-fly zone over Ukraine. I don't know how much sway Estonia has, but they
probably none, but they're on the border.
They're the first NATO member nation to have a body formally call for the no-fly zone. That's why it's become news.
Here's the endless cycle that's been going on for a month, is that everybody says, well, you know, we've got to do something. Well, we can't. They have nuclear weapons. Well, we got to do something. Well, we can't because they have nuclear weapons, right? It's just the same cycle over and over again. So what you're doing is you're telling Russia every day, here's what we're not doing. We're not going to invade Ukraine ourselves. We are not going to set up a no-fly zone. We are not going to in any way have active military involved in this. This is what we're not doing. And Putin is saying, okay, then I'll just keep taking land and killing people. You keep telling him you're not going to do anything. Well, his response is he's going to keep moving forward until he's leveled the entire country and killed thousands.
And the other story over the weekend, and I had wondered this last week, these reporters and journalists who are in this country covering this thing, one is dead, another is hurt, and a third has been hurt today. A 50-year-old American by the name of Brent Renault was killed. One of his colleagues was injured. This happened in Irpin. They are the subject of the Russian bombardment. It says early reports said that he had worked. He had contributed actually to the New York Times for years, and supposedly he had credentials from the New York Times. But he was not on assignment for the Times in Ukraine at this particular point. But
he's probably a freelancer.
Yeah,
sells his
Fox journalist, a Fox News journalist, a British guy by the name of Benjamin Hall, was also injured. This just happened on Monday while reporting on the Russian invasion. He was news gathering outside of Kyiv in Ukraine, and they don't have a lot of details, but he's hospitalized. So, I mean, sooner or later, all these reporters that are there are trying to get closer and closer to the action could end up in the line of fire.
Yeah.
Not really. That's a tough assignment, but you know, that's how people think that they get their legacy. They said, I was there, I covered it. I was on the front lines, I was reporting.
They thrive on the adrenaline.
Yeah, and they figure somebody has to do this, so, you know, I'll volunteer.
And that's how we're seeing and hearing what's really going on, because there's such a huge fog of misinformation and propaganda going on. So at least you know, if you turn on one of the mainstream news channels and you see the live video and the reporter explaining what you're also witnessing, then you know, okay, at least I know this is happening. You know, at least I could see that building on fire. It's just been bombed. I could see those people running for their lives. So this is not nothing here.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. Yeah. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Gas prices are high. Did you know that? It's breaking news. They're terrible.
It's terrible.
Although if you read one of the El Segundo Times columnists last week, he wanted to tell you that compared to 2008, adjusted for inflation, they're not quite as at an all-time high.
Yeah, after adjusted for inflation. Oh, except that's a circular argument. The gas prices feed the inflation.
Yeah, plus it's happening so quickly that it's tough on people.
That guy's a dope. Michael Hiltzik.
It was Michael Hiltzik.
Yeah, Mr. Contrarian. Let me find some microscopic thread to blow out of proportion to show that I'm smarter than my readers.
I can guarantee you what I call the opposite universe. If Trump were still president, there'd be a big story for him to complain about the high gas prices, the effect on poor people, and, oh, my God, this president is completely clueless, and blah, blah, blah. Instead, you have to write a column that somewhat calms people down because Biden's president, right?
So, yeah. No. I don't think anybody's falling for it. Anybody's going to be doing calculations on what the dollar was worth in 2008.
Yeah. By the way, it's going to go past that anyway. When he adjusted for inflation, it's pretty close to where we are now, and we're still going up. So
it's going to pass. I think it's going to pass 2080.
But the gas feeds
it for inflation.
The gas feeds the inflation. Because if the gas price doubles, then the transportation cost of everything doubles.
Right.
So the price of everything is going to go up noticeably.
I saw a TV news report this morning. We'll be talking to Alex Stone after 3 o'clock. It was elaborate. It was elaborate, I guess. It was a car that pulled up to a gas station. I think it was in Houston, Texas. Apparently, they had a trap door under the vehicle. And they were able to open up where the gas supply goes. You never see the big tanker come in. So they were opened up and they siphoned off a whole bunch of stuff from the company's, from the gas station's big tank that's underneath.
Really?
Oh, it's pretty cool looking, yeah. But when he came back, he chased them off. He realized that that's what they had done the other day. He has surveillance video. Although you can't see anything askew. They're just parked there.
So it would have dropped a hose in there and sucked it out?
Yes. They have a trap door underneath the car, so you can't see. They drove right over the, like it's a manhole cover.
Yeah.
And they pulled up the cover and they dropped, I guess, a hose down in there and sucked out some gas. Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty wild, and then drove off. This guy realized later he'd been stolen, looked at surveillance, realized that's how it happened. Hmm. And when they came back, he just chased them off.
You can only pull that off once.
If somebody's quick enough to notice, I lost like 100,000 gallons. All right, so we'll talk to Alex after 3 o'clock. By the way, did you see the news that there's no major challenger to Gavin Newsom? I think the actual filing deadline to run for governor has come and gone. Kevin Falconer announced he's not running.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Elder really effed everything up, didn't he? I mean, he really did. Because, you know, he swung and missed so badly that he depressed all the other Republicans to single digits. And those guys can't get any money. I mean, you know, Kevin Faulkner and the rest of them, they show up and say,
Don Cox is not going to run, I don't think.
Well, it's probably for the better.
This is like the third time, yeah.
But, Faulkner would have been good. But I guess probably nobody wants to give him money. And I was reading over the weekend somewhere, is like the businesses in this state have decided that there's never going to be a Republican charge again, so why not just make nice, make friends with the Democrats in power and give them all the money they need so at least their company or their industry will get some favored status. And so that's what's happened now. Nobody wants to waste a dollar on the Republicans because you're not going to get there anyway.
Well, this story has to do with the one public employee union that gave the most money to Gavin Newsom to beat back the recall. Any guesses? And you might immediately say, like, the teachers. No. The California Correctional Peace Officers Association gave nearly $2 million to Gavin Newsom to fight the recall last year. We're talking about him right now because this is really eye-popping. There, as you know, things happen in stages. What do we call it? The incrementalism. Eventually, they want to shut down all prisons in the state. You know, the LA County's discussing closing all the jails. What the state's doing is they're closing the juvenile prisons because, you know, if you believe in George Gascon, somebody that commits a terrible crime, but they're under 25, we have to be understanding their brain hasn't matured yet. So the plan is to shut all the juvenile, it's called the Division of Juvenile Justice. They're going to close all the youth prisons. They have a problem, though. They want to hold on to employees until June 30th. 2023. That's the planned final closures. So get this. They're thinking about offering the employees a $50,000 bonus to stay on the job. That's an incredible wad of money
to throw
at somebody.
That is
huge. I've never heard of such a thing.
Just to work for another
year and 3 months.
Yeah, 15 months.
Yeah, 15 months.
$50,000. To work on top of all their salary and perk guarantees.
Oh, whatever else, right. This would be a big bonus to stay.
Well,
I guess you have to commit to staying.
Look, you know what they call it in Russia? It's called a kleptocracy. You know, like a kleptomaniac, somebody who compulsively steals. Yeah. When you have a kleptocracy, you have government officials or oligarchs compulsively stealing tax money. And everybody at the top gets rich. And you're going to see we've got a kleptocracy here. It's going to be our government and all the connected parasites like labor unions who are going to get filthy rich on our tax money. Because that $50,000 a person bonus, that's us. That's our money.
These would be youth prison guards, as you might guess, plumbers, teachers, and chaplains, all who work for the juvenile justice prison
system. By the way, over an incredibly stupid idea. They're closing them all, I know. Yeah, closing all the prisons. Eventually, obviously, there's going to be so much mayhem going on.
Give us those people free.
Yeah, but go ahead. Keep with this social experiment. Like, it's going really well.
To put this in perspective, the normal retention that bonus that they give people to stay on the job is between $2,400 and $5,000. This is 10 times that maximum, $50,000. That's why I call attention to who gave the most money against the recall.
Well,
I imagine
yeah.
these youth correction prisoners, guards, are part of this union.
So here's the money laundering that goes on. Our tax money goes to Newsom's corrupt government, and in turn they give huge benefits to the prison guards. The prison guards then give campaign cash back to Newsom. He turns around, gives big bonuses to these juvenile prison guards, who in turn give cash donations to Newsom's campaign. And the money all starts with us, though. We paid the original taxes. And then they pass it back and forth amongst one another and take cuts of it along the way.
Right. So this would have to be approved by the legislature. Because of the amount involved.
They're corrupt, too. They're getting money from the same unions.
But if 775 people who worked at these facilities as of January 31st get the money, it's going to cost $38
million. $38 million.
To keep these people on the job till June of next year, because that's when everything closes down and final.
And they're hemming and hawing about a gas tax rebate.
Yes, yeah, that's what someone's going to say. You have the surplus. Spend it on keeping our prison guards in the youth camps.
They think it might be a $70 billion surplus. They're going to give away $38 million for no reason to these youth camp guards who end up going to get fired anyway in 15 months. And we have no gas tax rebate. Paying $6.
Oh, I see. They're called direct care employees can get the $50,000. That's the guards I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Automobile mechanics? That's considered direct care? The lead groundskeeper? Yeah. The school psychologist?
Yes. That's the part of the contract scam. They all want special status. It's like, well, how come the guards are getting it? They're direct care. Well, I want to be direct care, too. You're an auto mechanic. I want to be direct care. Yeah, it's like, all right. You don't want them going on strike.
Because non-direct care employees can only get up to $25,000, and these are office people, office technicians, typists, it says here.
Only $25,000.
I know. They got to keep a typist. And by the way, they're trying to get them all jobs, too, if they stay. They're trying to place them somewhere else in state government. All right.
Kleptocracy.
Kleptocracy.
That's the word of the day. Kleptocracy. John and Ken Show. John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It's enough that you have to worry about crime going on with people robbing you, follow home robberies. People going past restaurants and making people hand over their watches, their wallets. Now we got people stealing gas, which happens when prices rise to levels that they have. We'll talk to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about the nationwide trend that has taken off, thanks especially to the Russia-Ukraine war. That's after the news at 3 o'clock. Well, as you know, a lot of U.S. companies have been deciding to cease operations in Russia as another method of sanctioning the country for its invasion of Ukraine. McDonald's is temporarily closing, and did, 850 restaurants in Russia. This apparently didn't sit well with one particular customer who, well, he's probably had a lot of Big Macs. Looking at his picture, he is really wide. And in protest, he chained himself to the door of the McDonald's in Moscow.
That is the fattest Russian I've ever seen.
He's got a big sweatshirt on that must be XXXXXXXXL. And it's kind of a grainy picture, but it looks like he has long hair. And
yeah, he's kind of he's got a fat head, too, and a weird mustache.
He's identified as Luka Savronov. And they filmed him staging his protest hours before the restaurant was to close. He yelled, obviously in Russian, "Closing down is an act of hostility against me and my fellow citizens." We have some audio from, I guess, the man's father. His first name was really Nick Ass?
Nick-ass. N-I-K-A-S-S.
That's how it's spelled here.
Hey, Nick-ass.
This is the father of Luca in this report.
Это коммерческая компания. Я простой мудакан, пианист. Я всегда людям дарил добро и радость. Завтра нас бросают и заставляют нас отказаться от нашего привычного образа жизни, от наших ценностей. Компания, которая всю жизнь пропагандировала, будет
The disintegration of Russian society. People are now angry in the streets and protesting now that these sanctions have hit home and the McDonald's is closed.
Well,
and the world's largest Russian is handcuffed to the
front
door.
In many ways, that's our best weapon.
Yeah.
All the crap that we export to other countries, whether it's movies or fast food in this case, or luxury items, China, Russia, when they get to citizens who reach the middle class lifestyle, they're like, I'm digging this. And now suddenly, their dopey president invades Ukraine and they're taking away some of my favorite items.
How many pounds do you think this guy is?
He looks at least 400 to me.
Yeah, at
least. He's really wide around the middle.
That's a lot of Big Macs.
He's even got a shirt that sticks out underneath the big sweatshirt. It's like a hoodie's with
him. That looks like 10,000 calories a day. No wonder he's pissed. What's he going to do?
Company president and CEO, Chris Kempczinski, explained as we move forward, McDonald's will continue to assess the situation to determine if any additional measures are required. Well, if you close the stores, what other measures could there be?
You took all the measures.
Now they got to find their way over to another country to get a Big Mac. The Russians are going to invade Poland to try to get McDonald's fries.
That's not going to happen. This guy's screwed. And Russian food's not good.
I know.
It's like beet soup.
And they took away Coca-Cola and Starbucks, too.
Oh, you see? People got addicted to that, the way Americans got addicted. You know.
That's why I think it's an effective weapon, because people really get hooked on this stuff, and they become just fat and lazy like Americans.
That's right. Now you give them the beet soup, they're not going to be happy.
Then you're gonna deny them this. Wow. Another story from over the weekend, which is really, really bizarre, and it's related to our conflicts with a different country. An Iranian woman, apparently, she's only 21, she lured a man she met on a dating site called Plenty of Fish. It's a good one, Plenty of Fish in the Sea, in the ocean. To a Vegas hotel, blindfolded him, stabbed him in the neck. And after she was arrested, she explained she did this in retaliation for Trump's drone strike that killed that Iranian general in 2020. Remember that?
Soleimani.
Yeah, Qassem Soleimani. That was her motive.
See, everyone said, Warren, there's going to be retaliation.
Allegedly, they were going to try to bomb Trump on the golf course or something.
Yeah, a lot of Trump critics said, you shouldn't have done that. There's going to be retaliation. Now this guy got it in the neck.
Yeah. Apparently, they went to the lovely Sunset Station Hotel, began engaging in sexual activity.
And he probably thought this was the greatest night of his life, right?
But suddenly he felt a pain in the side of his neck.
Yeah.
She pulled a knife out of her purse and just whacked him in the neck.
I have no sympathy for people who do hookup dates online apps. You're asking to get stabbed in the neck. So if that happens, your fault.
Well, I would say most people are genuine on these dating apps, but you do run the risk, like Russian roulette.
It's filled with crazy people. Really?
She ran out of the room and she told the hotel employee she stabbed the guy. And then she told the police later that she stabbed him for revenge over the general's death.
And that was several years ago, wasn't it?
2020. Yeah, the summer of 2020.
She waited 2 years to stab a guy in the neck.
It built up. And that's when the drone fired missiles at this guy's convoy. Remember, he's leaving the Baghdad airport.
All right. You want to go on the Plenty of Fish dating app, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Going to get a crazy girl.
I think
trying
the guy's
to kill
alive.
You.
It doesn't say. It says that his condition is unknown.
Yeah, well, he...
Look at that. She did go to... did she go to... It says here she went to the University of California, UCLA, where she was part of the university's debate team.
Is that right?
It's on her bio.
I bet you she won all her debates.
She ends up on an online dating app.
She's got really provocative pictures. She's got one photo of herself in a short, really short...
Yeah, that's how she lured him.
Yeah, it looks like she's wearing lingerie, and she's perched on a red sports car. And the lingerie matches the sports car.
Yeah, she explained to police there were injustices, and I tried to right one of them.
Well, there you go.
By stabbing this guy in the neck in a sleazy hotel in Vegas.
I would X her out of your list of prospective dates.
All right, coming up next, we'll be talking to Alex.
I like that she blindfolded him, too. He probably thought, oh, man. All my life.
Probably didn't want him to see. Then she grabbed the knife out of the bag. Alex Stone will be here to talk about gasoline theft.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.